Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ was hanging, bleeding and dying on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary, his critics and detractors said unto him, if you come down from the cross, we will believe you. But mercy, wearing her resplendent jewels, whispered in his ear, you can't come down.
All right.
Jesus said in his own mind that love has incapacitated me and I can't come down. He said, I can't come down because scriptural utterances must be fulfilled and the scripture cannot be broken. He said, I can't come down because without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin, and the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. He said, in essence, I can't come down because justice must roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Oh, I'm glad this morning he didn't come down because he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
You have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. I want to thank all of these great participants in our devotional, Brother Sperling, for the excellent invocation. I want to thank Brother Wyatt for the superb reading of the scripture. Thank Brother Jeremy Gray for the beautiful prayer prayed in our behalf. Amen. And Brother Harrison Rutledge for the outstanding job he continues to do in leading the hymn. I'm happy this morning to see my son in the back there.
Amen.
Peter A. Moss II. Yeah, I'm glad to see him present this morning. You have that? Say amen.
Amen.
We're going to begin the reading at the 27th verse through the 29th. And as we do, we ask you to read this text after us. Then answered Peter. Said unto him,
Behold,
we have forsaken all
and followed thee.
What shall we have therefore?
Jesus said unto them,
Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. I want to read verse 27 again. Then Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have?
Therefore.
Using that text, I want to speak from the subject this morning, 100 times better. 100 times better. Man is the comparing creature. We make comparisons all the time, and by comparisons, we are either happy or sad. By comparisons, we are satisfied or dissatisfied. We're familiar with the superlative degree or the comparative degree. We know about good, we know about better, and we know about Bess. And one way a company can go out of business is just settle for mediocrity. If you as an individual want to reach your God-given talent and your God-given ability, you cannot settle for mediocrity. Companies and individuals will indeed go out of business if they settle for mediocrity. Companies must strive for excellence. Congregations of the Lord's church must strive for excellence. Individuals must strive for excellence, because this is the way to the greater things of life. Now, when we look at this context of Peter as he was dealing with the situation, and as we said it contextually, they had just listened to the conversation that Jesus had with the rich young ruler, a rich young man who was very rich, very successful, came to Jesus inquiring, asking, what things must I do to have eternal life? Jesus told him that there was a connection between the commandments and obedience. If you obey, then that opens the door to life. So Jesus said, you know what's written, have you obeyed the commandments? And this conscientious young man said that which ones? Jesus then referred him to what is called the Decalogue, which is the second half of the Ten Commandments, which say, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal, and so on and so on. The young man then said to Christ, all these things I have observed from my youth. But Jesus saw a deeper problem. Jesus saw a more sinister, a more dangerous problem in this young man's life. And Jesus can look at all of our lives and see the problem areas. Amen. And not only can he see the problem area, he can give us the counsel and the guidance we need to get it straightened out. After all, he is a wonderful counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. So Jesus detected a deeper problem. This young man was rich, but he had real issues with riches and money. And Jesus proposed radical surgery and said unto him, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Well, the young man did not accept that advice, and he went away sorrowfully. Well, the disciples were there. They weren't rich people. And they were there listening to this exchange of this encounter between Jesus, this young man, and they said to him, well, who then can be saved? A fine, outstanding young man like this, you mean to tell me that this man can't be saved? The Bible makes it clear that rich people face challenges in coming to the kingdom of God, because rich people tend to trust in money. And God says, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And based upon this answer, the disciples said, if that be the case, who then can be saved? And Jesus responded with, man is impossible. Now, some folks, perhaps you think ain't no way they can be saved, but God said, they are going to be saved. Amen. Amen. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. But yet, brothers and sisters, there was another question lingering in the mind of the disciples. And they said to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. What are we going to have, therefore? Jesus did not consider this a wrong question. He did not consider this an illegitimate question. He did not consider this an irrelevant question. But Jesus looked at this question And he gave them an answer. We're going to look at in this message that question. What are we going to have since I've decided to follow Jesus?
All right, preacher.
What am I going to have? That's a legitimate question. If you go and work for a company, you want to know what's the benefits? What's the salary like? What's the retirement package like? Is that right? So two things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see Peter's question. And number two, I want you to see Jesus' answer. Peter's question. And finally, Jesus' answer. Now, the great God of heaven is a creative genius. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Yes, sir.
And God made the human brain and the human mind, and it is an amazing instrument. Dr. Carl Sagan said the brain is a very large place in a very small space. And that's absolutely true. In the human brain, there's a part of the brain which is part of the frontal lobe, which is called the prefrontal cortex.
Yeah.
All of you biology students know about the prefrontal cortex. And this prefrontal cortex deals with decision making. It deals with differentiating between conflicting thoughts. It deals with looking at consequences and suppressing inappropriate action. This is the functions. It is called sometimes the executive function. And that is, it makes those decisions. It evaluates. It reasons. Well, I'm telling you that Peter and the apostles were using their prefrontal cortex. Now, they didn't know to call it by that, Sister Monier, but that's what they were using. And they said, what are we going to have as a result of following you? That's a good question, isn't it? Since I've given my life to Christ, what am I going to have? This is a legitimate question. This is a relevant question. What am I going to have since I have decided to follow Jesus? Well, we might ask, what will I have if I don't accept Christ as my Lord and Savior? What will I have? What will be the outcome? We might ask again, what will I have if I accept him as my Lord and Savior, but I become unfaithful and I go back into a life of sinful disobedience? What will I have? Or we might ask, what will I have if I never obey the gospel? I've heard it preached so many times, and I've sat through so many invitations, but I did not respond. And the question is, what will I have? And that was a legitimate question. What will I have since I'm coming to church every Sunday? I'm getting up and supporting the kingdom of God and trying to be faithful and supportive. What will I have as a result of following Jesus Christ? Jesus didn't say, Peter, you don't have a right to be asking that question. Jesus said it is a legitimate question. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, in whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as rubbish. He said that what I gain in Christ, even though I've lost some things,
yeah.
What will I have? I want to ask you a question this morning. What have you given up to follow Christ? Oh, ain't that a good question? What have I denied myself to follow Christ? Because there's no such thing as something but nothing.
Amen.
So I must ask myself a question. What have I given up in order to follow Christ? After all, Christ gave up his life that we might have salvation. Amen. What have I have? What have I given to be faithful to the cause of Christ? What have I given up to follow Jesus? And what will I have? Because we all move into that moment sooner or later. You don't have to be old to die. Remember a beautiful young lady passed away. She was so pretty. And you went to her funeral, and as she was beautiful, lying in that casket. But she was dead. Amen. Somebody said, I would rather have a wooden bed than a golden casket. Amen. It doesn't matter how nice the casket is, you dead. Amen. Is that right? So I'd rather have a old piece of bed. At least I'm living in that bed. Is that all right? Oh, she had such a beautiful cat, but she dead. Is that all right? What will I have because I have decided to follow Jesus? And that's why the hymnologist said in the song, you sing it, I sing it, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Can you say amen to that? I have decided, because you figured out a long time ago, it was in your best interest to follow Jesus. Amen. The world behind me, the cross before me. Yes, no turning back. Come on, please. No turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? You got to ask yourself a question. What will I have in order to follow Christ? Here's the second and final point, and that is Jesus' answer. I want to say that the Lord's rewards are always greater. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That whatever God is offering us, and he's saying here, it's 100 times more and 100 times better than anything you will ever receive. We're living in an age of mega contracts.
Yeah.
Amen. And we hear about those boys getting those big contracts and we be salivating. Come on, y'all. Amen. They getting paid. Is that all right?
Yeah.
We look at Forbes 500 lists of the most wealthiest. But I'm telling you that what Christ offers you is 100 times greater than anything the world could offer you. What Christ offers you is 100 times better than what the world can offer you. I know you may be having a good time. I know you may be laying your hair down. I know you may be singing, if I can't be with the one I love, I'm going to love the one I'm with. But I'm telling you that what Christ offers you is 100 times more. It is 100 times better than anything. And we got to look at that. We all got to look at that. What will I have if I follow Christ? What will I have if I turn my back on Christ? What will I have? Amen. But Brother Wyatt read about Moses. Now I want you to notice several things in this context of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. He said that Moses, and I want you to watch this, was an Egyptian prince. He was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah.
Amen. And the Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, watch this, big one, the pleasures of sin for a season. Now all of us have to decide, is sin more important to me than salvation?
Good question, preacher.
I may be doing my thing, but is that sin I'm engaging in, is it more important than my salvation? And then it says that Moses, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. So he was able to look at what he was going to have, because the bottom line is, We brought nothing in this world. And it's certain what? No matter how much you're going to accumulate it, guess what's going to happen? And the folks left behind are going to be fighting over what you left. Unless you contact Sister Spurlin and get you a will and specify exactly how it is to be distributed. Are y'all listening to this? Amen. And he said that because he looked to the reward of Christ, which was greater than the treasures of Egypt. Now, I won't deny that the world can't offer you something.
Amen.
But can they offer you what Christ offers you? And I'm telling you this morning that what Christ offers you is 100 times better. Now, if somebody told you, look, I got something that's 100 times better than what you got, would you roll with that? Would you say, oh, no, that's all right? I'm sure you would say, no, give me some more information on that. Because that almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But it's not true when it comes down to Christ. Now think about this for a moment. You can lay up treasures for yourself on the earth, but it's a real possibility you can lose it. Is that right? Time, moth, and rust can corrupt it. Is that right? And then thieves in the financial industry can break through and steal. Bernie Madoff with all the dope. Is that right? Because people were trusting him and people lost retirements, they lost fortunes, fooling around with Mr. Madoff. There's a man you can invest with. You'll never lose your treasure. Because he said, moth and rust in heaven, moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through. How many of this morning would like to get an ironclad investment? And I'm sure with anybody who does investments, you know there's some level of risk. Is that correct? And what a smart investor does is try to minimize his level of risk. Yeah. Is that right? Because after all, when you put your money in the bank, I mean just a simple checking account or savings account, you trusting somebody. That's why the government stepped in wide and said we will insure it. What's the FIDC?
FDIC.
I don't know what it is. They stepped in, Brother Earl, and they raised the amount. It used to be $200,000, now it's $300,000. And the government steps in, and that gives you peace of mind, right?
All right.
But one thing about it, I never have to worry about that because my $300 covered. See, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about that. What Harris got to worry about, I ain't got to worry about that. My little bit covered. Praise God. Is that all right? So I'm saying with any investment, there is a level of risk. But with Christ, there is no risk. You know why it's no risk? Because he's God. He made the world. He can make something out of nothing. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and opened up a restaurant on a grassy hillside. He took pots of water and turned them into water pots of new wine. Is that all right?
Amen.
He can do a lot with them. And if you invest what you have with Christ, what will happen? So I want to leave with this as I conclude, and that is, remember, we all been made offers. Right? The devil, had the devil made you an offer? He made Eve an offer, didn't he? Said, if you eat of this tree, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. What does the devil promise you? The world makes offers, but nobody can offer you what Jesus Christ offers you.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why Paul said, God help us to help the church to understand that the greatest investment you have. And I leave with this. Peter said, Peter is the one who raised the question, Brother Wyatt.
Yeah.
He said, what will we have, therefore? And the message of Jesus got through to Peter. Because Peter later wrote in his writings, he said, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven.
Yeah.
Ain't that good news?
That's good news.
Sometime when you're traveling, you call ahead and you make reservations.
Yeah.
That right? So when you get there, won't be no stuff. Is that all
right?
When you get there, you have a reservation number. And if that is a quality hotel, they tell you, Mr. Wyatt, Sister Moss, what is your reservation number?
Yeah.
And the way you make your reservation in heaven, you hear the gospel. You believe it. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ. And you're baptized. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that good news? And I'm so glad that my investment is sure. And I hear Christ saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yeah.
For in my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that all right? For in my Father's house are many mansions. Is that all right? And I'm so glad about those mansions. But not only that, when I look at Christ, I find no fault in him. One day he stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate examined him, and he said concerning him, I find no fault in this man. Where they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? And somebody got to look at Christ and say, I find no fault in him.
No fault.
And I'm going to follow him. Is that all right? I find no fault in what he said.
Yeah.
I find no fault in what he did. Is that all right? I find no fault in what he performed. Is that all right? And because of that, I have decided to follow Jesus. And when we've been there, hallelujah, what? 10,000 years bright, shining as the sun. We have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. So somebody ought to say, yes, Lord. My soul says yes. Yes, Lord, to streets of gold. Yes, Lord, to a mansion, robe and a crown. Yes, Lord, to immortality. Yes, Lord, to eternal life. Yes, Lord, to no more trouble. Yes, Lord, to no more pain. Yes, Lord, to no more aging. Is that all
right?
Somebody ought to say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You gave me the best offer that I ever had.
Amen.
And that's the message. I'm through, y'all. Y'all stand. I'm sick this morning. Y'all, I'm quitting right there. Amen. I gave y'all the best I had. Praise God. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow
Jesus.
No turning back. May be seated.
No turning back.
Brother Wyatt.